12th Street. I went on vacation and forgot to get a microphone. Well, it is good to see you here this morning. If you are visiting with us, we want to say welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church. And it's snowy outside, but the weather's perfect inside, right? So it's good to have you here. If you're visiting with us, we would like to have a record of your visit with us. And so if I could have the ushers ready here. If you're visiting with us and haven't filled out a visitor card, if you could just slip your hand up in the air so we could have a record of your visit with us. All right. I know we have one right up here. I want his info. Yeah. Thanks, Brian. All right. Well, it is great to see you here. We have several announcements to go through, so let's go through these. First of all, there's a short meeting at the front of the church for all those who would like to play softball, all the men who would like to play on the men's team, and then also co-ed as well. So if you'd like to play softball, co-ed, or men's team, is that right, Pete? Yeah. All right. Pete wants to meet with everybody who wants to play softball. All right. So if you'd like to play, come on up here. Pete's going to explain things. And seventh grade and up are able to play. All right. Vacation Bible School is coming up very soon. If you would like to help, please see Brooke Camp. And I don't see Brooke. So I would have her raise her hand. But she's the redhead. Joel's in the back. You can see Joel. He'll direct you to his wife. All right. We are beginning small groups next Sunday night. And so I'd like to encourage you to sign up. There's maps and locations and times for all the small groups. They're in the Welcome Center. Find a small group to be part of. As we study the book of Revelation, if you are a part of a small group, you will get such a better grasp on everything. So I'd love to encourage you to be part of a small group. And if you haven't picked up a small group book, go ahead and pick one up at the Welcome Center. We have several that are there, and we'd like for everyone to have one. We have the Christian music event of the summer. It's a concert. It lasts for 3 days. You can buy, if you buy them through our church, you get a special price. And so that's all in the bulletin there. Church camping trip, make your reservations. There's the website there, August 12th through 14th. We had a great time last year with the church camping trip, and I'd like to encourage you to come out and be part of that. And we need some more volunteers for mowing. We have 13 and a half acres that we mow every week, and we have a really fast X mark. And if you like to go fast, but Joel is just cringing over there going, oh, I can see all the repairs. But we do need help with the mowing, so if you would like to help with that, there is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. Please check that out. I'm forgetting an announcement. Joel Ritzma, come on up here.
Yeah, I was cringing when he said that. Thank you so very much. I was here about 3 weeks ago, and I talked to about the Gideons and the work that you are doing. You are the body, and we are the arms and the legs of the Gideons. You gave in 1 week over $400. That is phenomenal. Thank you for giving to the Lord. That's what you did. You gave to the Lord. There's a song out there. I think it's by Michael Bolt or Ray Bolt or whatever the name is. But he goes to heaven, and a person taps him on the shoulder and says, thank you for giving. And the guy says, why? He says, you taught me in a Sunday school class. You gave to a missionary. That's what you just did. In 192 different countries, you just touched. In this community, you touched it by giving what you gave. 100% of your gift goes to the Bibles and distribution. 100%. There is not many groups that can say that. We can. And again, thank you for giving to the Lord to change lives.
All right. All right, following the morning service, we do have a dinner in the back, and it's going to allow for those who are going to the movie God's Not Dead 2. We've rented out Kalamazoo 10, one of their spaces. I believe all the tickets have been accounted for, so we're going to fill up 206 seats in that auditorium, and it'll be great. If you haven't taking care of your end for the meal or for the tickets, please make sure that you do that just so that The LAC has contributed to purchase everything and for the meal for today, and so we'd like for you to help out with that. If you'd like to stay for the meal and you didn't sign up for the meal, just go ahead and make sure that you you can. We do have some extra tables available for that, so you can stay after church for the meal. Just make sure that you see Cheryl so that she can collect. It's $5 per person or $10 for a family. All right, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity this morning to be together. It is good when your people dwell in unity. And Lord, I thank you that as we talk about some really neat things in Revelation, and we see a description that John is able to convey to us of what he saw in heaven, I pray, Lord, we'd get a little glimpse of that. But Lord, I pray that we would see the bigger picture. This morning as we sing to you, we are not just singing songs because we like music. We are singing to a God who loves to hear praises lifted up to him. And so, God, we do lift up our praises to you. Lord, this morning we give not to a church. We give to a God who is able to take those monies and spread them and use them in wonderful ways. And Lord, I thank you that this morning as we fellowship with each other, we're not just fellowshipping with brothers and sisters that we love. We are fellowshipping with the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so, Lord, to you this morning, we say thank you for loving us. And to you this morning, Lord, we just want to give you praise and glory and honor, for you are worthy. We love you, Lord. Use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing as we sing Power in the Blood. One. do service for Jesus your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Psalm 47:7 says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art. slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Dear Lord, we come to you today just to say thank you. Thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord, and just allowing us the opportunity to give you a little bit back, Lord. We know that your hand is at work here in this church and that you will guide what happens here, Lord. And I just pray that you would just put your hand on the message today. Just help Pastor say what you want him to say, Lord. And just help us to remember that we don't worship an awesome God. We worship the awesome God, Lord. I just pray that you would just bless today and just make today for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
We were lost and so far away.
Our music this morning was meant to help get you ready for this message, because we're going to talk about the Lamb. But before we get into that, the children are dismissed to Children's Church. Children off to Children's Church. And for all those that are helping me, come on up on stage. Nate Penning got so excited after preaching last week. And then he started studying Revelation, and he got so excited about that he decided to go preach to the many people who roared past in their cars in Paw Paw on 94. And so Nate went out to the Interstate 94 intersection with Paw Paw, and he started to scream, "Repent! The end of the world is near!" And one day, he was doing this every day. I saw him on my way back from vacation. It's great. He walked to his spot, and a big lever appeared out of nowhere. And it had a sign next to it that read, "Pull this to end the world." Well, he's been preaching. The end is near, and now he's got a lever right there. Pull this to end the world. So Nate saw this as a perfect spot for him to preach. And soon, as he stood in the middle of I-94 next to his lever, the cars were parked, and people were screaming, and a large semi had to make a choice. It was either hit Nate or hit the lever. Well, the big 18-wheel rig couldn't stop, and as the driver later explained to the highway patrol, he had no choice, pointing to the red smear on the road that used to be Nate. He said, "Better Nate than lever." Nate got me last week, so it's. In the book of Revelation, 44 times John saw or beheld something. And I want you to understand this. 44 times he saw or beheld something. 73 times he hears something. Now, what's easier for you? To put into words something you hear or something you see? When it's something you hear, you can reiterate what you heard, right? Just, "Here's what I heard." But when you see, you have to be able to paint it in such a way that your reader can in a way see what you saw. You guys can go ahead and go have a seat with the choir and get your crowns, all right? So let's turn to Revelation chapter 4. And as you're turning there, you go, "Why aren't we doing 2 and 3? Well, in your bulletin, I give you a little plausible explanation for chapters 2 and 3. Some people believe that chapter 2 and chapter 3, it is written to seven churches. The name of those churches are given to us. Some people believe that those represent church ages. And so I kind of put that in the bulletin. You can read through that. That's fine. Could be. I don't believe that that's the case. It was written to those churches. Those were real, living, breathing churches. They all had a minister to those churches, and they all had an angel that God had as a representative for that church. You get done with chapter 2 and 3, written to these seven churches, and then you come to chapter 4. I believe that these seven churches show us something about ourselves. There's something in each one of those seven churches where we could look at and say, "I need that. I can learn from that." I don't think it was written in a way where it was, "Oh, that was them then, this is them then." And now a lot of people believe that we're the seventh church age, the church of the Nicolaitans. I almost said Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans. Now, chapter 4 and verse 1 says this, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Some people believe that this verse, chapter 4, verse 1, because it follows chapter 2 and 3, written to the seven churches, shows a rapture of the church, because it says, "Come up here." and there's a sound of a voice of a trumpet, okay? And if you believe that, it's fine. I can't say that you're wrong. I don't believe it's the case. Let me just give you three reasons why I don't believe this to be right. Number one, John was the only one person spoken to. It wasn't spoken to everybody. What we're going to see other places here in Revelation where a person is spoken to, come up here, and that person will be moved, or those people will be moved. Secondly, the voice was the sound of a trumpet talking, not a trumpet calling to gather. There's a difference. When a trumpet blows, what John heard was the voice. It sounded like a trumpet, but it was someone, an angel talking to him. Later on, we're going to see the trumpet call is a trumpet that blows. There are different noises a trumpet would make, and one of those was a gathering call. Sometimes it was a call to battle. Sometimes it was a call to retreat. Sometimes it was a call to surrender. Well, this is a gathering call. This one here in chapter 4, verse 1 is not a gathering call. It's just sounds like a trumpet, but it's talking to him. And then thirdly, he was only there in the spirit while the gatherings in scripture are all bodily. All right? So for John, this is, he was transported in the spirit into heaven. And here's what he saw. Verse 3. He that sat, now remember chapter verse 2 ended with one sat on the throne. So I've got this throne here. All right? This is the throne. And with the throne, you say, why is it all green? We're going to see in just a minute. God, when people look at him, his glow is green. Let's read this. Verse 3. He that sat was to look on like a jasper and a sardine stone. Both of them are a greenish tinted stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, like unto an emerald. Emerald, green again. Okay? And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So here are our 24 elders. Everybody say hi to our 24 elders, all right? Do we have more than 24 up there? Okay, well, there's our 24 elders. They all are wearing white clothing with a gold crown. You say, why does this mean? This is all very significant. All right, we'll get to it in just a second. And out of the throne, and they all had crowns of gold on their heads. Verse 5, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. Let's have some lightning and thunder. Now we hear that, but you've got to imagine that this is a constant vision in heaven. This is what they see, green, emitting from the throne and around the throne. These 24 elders, they're actually surrounding the throne with their seats. And then thunder and lightning. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. We'll get into who the seven spirits of God are, what they're all about. You need to understand this. The seven spirits of God are seven voices that will go from the mouth of Jesus. There are also seven lights that go into all the earth. And we'll, as we go through this book, we'll see this more about these seven spirits. Verse 6, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. I didn't know how to put eyes on them, so we've got our four beasts here. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each one of them six wings about them. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. And they say something. Now, here's what we need to understand. In heaven, the songs of heaven are very repetitive. So get used to it, all right? The songs of heaven are very repetitive. And the song of heaven that these four beasts sing is, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." All right, beasts, let's hear it. Let's... And they cease night, day and night, or they cease not day and night to say, "Holy, holy, holy." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down. You don't need to fall down. Some of them wouldn't get back up. They fall down before him that sits on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, don't cast your crowns yet. Let's hear it, 24 elders. All right, so who are these beasts? Who are these elders? These four beasts here, they're angels. Even Lander, all right? They're all angels. Now you say, what kind of angel? Because there are different kinds of angels. There's archangels, there's cherubs, there's seraphim. Well, these angels are seraphim. You say, how do you know that? Well, they're described as having six wings. In Ezekiel gives us a vision of angels that had four wings. He did give us a vision of one that looked like a man, one that looked like a lion, one that looked like a calf, one that looked like an eagle. All right, but in Ezekiel's vision, it's different because they only had four wings. It's a different kind of angel. These angels have six wings. And the seraphim, the six-winged angels, their song has changed in Revelation from what it was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, these same six-winged creatures, beasts, angelic beings, seraphim, they had a different song. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, above it, above the throne, stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two his feet, two he did fly. One cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Go back and put the beast saying up there, the first one that they had. And it's a little bit different because it used to be holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. But it's changed now. What has changed? Jesus has come to earth. He's lived. He died. He was. And he was not. And he is to come. And so now he was and is, because he rose from the grave, and he is to come. So the song of heaven, it used to be, the seraphims used to sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now they sing a different song because Jesus has come. Now, the interesting thing about these four beasts, nowhere does it say they're redeemed because God did not send Jesus to redeem the angels. They're not redeemed, but they're around the throne. They praise him day and night with their song. Now, the 24 elders, why 24? Well, in 1 Chronicles 25, it gives us 24 stations or offices of worship. I don't know if that's why there are 24 of them. It could be. Those 24 stations or offices of worship are all appropriated to the priesthood. Now, we do see in just a little bit, these 24 elders are going to say, we are made priests to our God. So it might have something to do with that. We see crowns on these 24 elders, which signifies kingship, right? So it would make sense that they would have something priestly associated with them and something kingly. Now, they are redeemed from the earth. So these 24 elders are different than these angels because these 24 elders are representative of mankind. Not just representative, they are humans who have died and have gone to heaven. And these 24 elders, in chapter 5 and verse 10, I'm going to skip ahead, they say he has made us kings and priests. They say that they were redeemed. They wear white robes of redemption from the blood of the Lamb. And in verse 9 in chapter 5, it talks about a multinational varying ethnicity that makes up these 24 elders, also makes up the church age. All right? So here's what we know about the 24 elders. They're humans. They were redeemed from the earth. Okay? They're not Israelites, or maybe some of them are, but they're from all different ethnicities. This is pretty cool. You know what? The Bible, it includes all of us in it. And these 24 represent the church age of history because they come after Jesus has redeemed mankind, and they represent you and I in heaven. Let's go to chapter 5. And before I go to chapter 5, beasts, I'm going to need your help for just a second, so stay there. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side. So on the right hand of the one who sits on the throne, whoops, I just lost. That's not good. He's got this scroll, a book written within and on the back side and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, nor either to look thereon. Nobody could even look on the inside of this book. Nobody in heaven. None of these four angels couldn't do it. The 24 elders couldn't do it. No other angel. The archangels couldn't do it. The cherubims. They couldn't do it. Verse 4. John wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders says to me, "Weep not." Now, we got to get a full picture of this. Go ahead and give me the rainbow. Because from the throne proceed green colors, but also around the throne is a rainbow color. All right? We got to see, we need this rainbow, the full color effect. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. The description that John gives of what he sees, not what he hears, what he sees, is a lamb that stands up from the throne, and he looks like he's died. When Jesus was beaten, he was marked. His body was marked. His torso was flayed. He was beaten unrecognizable, Isaiah says. And in his hands and in his feet, he had holes. In his side, he has a hole. And when the Lamb stands up from the throne, he still carries those marks. He stands up and you can see he died. And all of heaven is reminded that someone has paid the price for mankind. The Lamb stands up having seven horns and seven eyes, which are again the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So Jesus has a word and a message that he sends to all the earth. These seven spirits are the seven spirits of God, but they proceed out of God. And the Lamb, who is the Word of God, is the source for the seven spirits to go to the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the throne. The four beasts can fall down because they're young. But I want you to see this in heaven. The throne itself didn't cause them to fall down. The Lamb who stands and holds the book up in the air causes them to fall. The 24, you can stay seated, 24. The 24, they fall down. They had harps and golden vials full of odors. Good odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. And actually, we kind of sang it already. It was the Revelation song actually comes right from this passage of Scripture. Do we have that for the 24 elders to sing or to say? Thou art worthy. Go ahead, 24 elders. Okay, that was the first one. Do we have another one, or is that the only one you had for them? All right, here we go. This is the one. Let's hear it.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. Okay. I skipped something on the sides. My fault. Okay. The 24 sang a song. It says, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." That's important. Why was the Lamb the only one who could take this book and open it? Because he died for humanity. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation is the most incredible work that has ever been done. There is a work that is going to be done, which causes heaven to be in so much more awe even than heaven was at Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Heaven will have even more awe when Jesus stands up and he takes this book and he takes this scroll, because when he does, heaven knows, whoa, the end is coming. This is it. The final countdown. And heaven says, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us." This is the 24 elders that sing this. "You have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. If you do the math on that, we're talking over 100 million plus. All right, so now all of you out here, you're the angels. All right, congregation? All right, the one that I had up there, the one that says everyone, let's all read it together. "Worthy. I look at that and I go, well, wait a minute. He already deserves all of that. He's already earned the right to have all that. Why does heaven wait till he opens the scroll? Because heaven can't wait for him to open the seals. Heaven can't wait for him to start to peel back these seals so that the contents of the book can be read and that the events on earth can be finalized. Because heaven looked at Jesus' death and the angels don't get it. The angels don't have a comprehension. They look at it and they go, okay, we know he died. We know he died for man. But people are still bad. These people, they still mess up all the time. They name Jesus' name and then they live like the devil. And heaven sits there and heaven goes, what is going on? But you know what? When Jesus opens the scrolls of the book, they know exactly what's going to happen. They know that the clock starts to tick, that the end is going to come, and that sin will be completely vanquished. So then verse 13, "And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them." Now, that word creature there, it's interesting. Sometimes humanity is thrown into the creature. But you know what? In this particular instance, humanity is not part of that creature. That word creature there entails all the made things on earth that lack a soul. So we're talking about flowers, plants, trees, grass, clouds. We're talking about all the animals, all the birds. We're talking about the terrestrial things of earth and the celestial things of heaven. All of them emit a noise. Did you know that? It's pretty cool. You can go online and somebody has taken the sounds from whales singing with a star's sound that emits and put it to music. And the song is "How Great Is Our God." It's really cool. Because all of creation sings something. It emits a noise. And what does creation do? When creation sees that the Lamb picks up that scroll out of the right hand of him that sits on the throne, that all of creation starts to sing. And here's what they sing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. All right, I'm going to take you through the scene one more time real quickly. And as we do it, you guys ready to read the crowns? All right, the beasts stand up. They give glory to God. And these beasts, when they see him open the book, they say, Thou art worthy to take the lamb, or to take the book. And they fall down to their faces. When they fall down, the 24 elders, they come and they cast their crowns before the throne. And you know what? There's no signal in heaven to do this. Heaven is just moved. Oh, that thing is going to kill me, or I'm going to break it. Heaven is just moved by what's taking place on earth. And as heaven is moved, they cast their crowns. See, we as humans, we hang on to our crowns because we say, I've earned this. This is my authority. This is my power. This is my dominion. But you know what? In heaven, when the Lamb takes that scroll, when he begins to show heaven that he is opening the book, all of heaven takes what they own, takes whatever glory may belong to them, and they take it and they throw it before the throne, because everything in heaven is known to be God's, and every honor of heaven belongs to the Lamb and to the one who sits on the throne. Thank you, beast. You guys can have a seat as well. Let's give him a big hand here. Just last week, we stood in front of Cinderella's castle with thousands of other people. And we were crammed like this. I mean, there was no even standing room. And they did this light show up on the castle, and it was pretty cool. And they showed all these fireworks, and it was pretty cool. And everybody starts cheering. And the cheering was pretty loud. And it's kind of cool to see something where everybody spontaneously just cheers like that. It's kind of cool. But can you imagine the scene of heaven? When hundreds of millions of angels, 24 elders, four beasts, when they see the Lamb take the book and they stand up, can you imagine the jubilee, the excitement? Villanova just won the national basketball championship. They threw a parade for them through the streets of Philadelphia. And all the people that celebrated that, they went out and they cheered and they dropped confetti. And you know what? It's nothing. Nothing compared to what will take place in heaven when the Lamb stands up and takes that book from the Father's hand. Let me tell you something about end times. God is always in control. He orders them. He controls them. I want to give you two important reminders from this passage this morning. First of all, the Lamb can handle heaven's dilemma. They took the one who sits on the throne, held up the scroll and said, who is worthy to open this book? And nobody could open it. Nobody. Heaven had a dilemma. Earth had a dilemma. Now, earth's dilemma doesn't seem as great as heaven's, because heaven can't wait for sin to be stamped out. Here on earth, for some reason, we're not quite as excited about that. But in heaven, they cannot wait. And John starts to weep. Now, heaven doesn't weep, because heaven knows the Lamb. How many of us in our problems right now, the dilemma that you're in, there are times that you just go, I can't do it. And it literally brings you to your knees. It literally brings tears to your eyes. It literally brings you to a point where you just go, I don't know what to do. I can't handle it. Heaven had that dilemma. John didn't know the answer. John didn't know that there was a lamb who was going to stand up. And I want to tell you something. If the lamb can handle heaven's dilemma, he can handle yours. If the lamb can handle what heaven needs, he can handle what you need. And so right now, whatever you're going through, whatever hardship you're facing, whatever desperation you feel, the lamb can handle it. So give it to the lamb. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls." Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." The lamb can handle what you face. Secondly, Jesus has already overcome. Verse 5 in chapter 5, and I'm just going to close with this verse. It's such a great verse. "One of the elders said to me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David.'" You know what's so cool? Jesus is lion and lamb simultaneously. He's lamb in his meekness to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He is lion in that there is no force greater than he. You know, the four beasts, I forgot to say this about them. The four beasts that stood around the throne, they're the greatest of their area. Man, the greatest of God's creation. God gave man dominion over all the creatures. The lion, the greatest of all the prowling animals, the greatest of all the carnivores. The calf, the greatest of all the servile animals, the strongest. The eagle, the greatest of all the birds. But yet when you take the greatest of all creation, when the lamb stands up, he's also a lion. And nothing compares to him. And when the lamb and lion stand up, here's what it says. He's also the root of David. In the Old Testament, it describes him as a tender plant, a small plant growing from a great root of David. But now as we get to the New Testament, and as we especially into Revelation, we finally understand this about Jesus, that the kingship of David was not David's, it was Jesus. What made David's kingship great was that he was the one that came before Jesus. And Jesus is the great one. A big tree will have a big root system. The root of David is the greatest root system. And he wants to bring stability to your life. But that's not the point here. It says, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed." No matter what you're going through, what you're facing, no matter what seems insurmountable, the Lamb has already prevailed. Your situation has an answer. Your dilemma has a solution. Because the Lamb has already prevailed. He has already overcome. And so for you and I now, what do? We live in his victory. We surrender to his greatness. Let's pray together. Lord God, I just thank you for this passage. I thank you that heaven's dilemma was solved through the Lamb. And I thank you that our problems are all solved by you, the great Lamb. Lord, if anyone here this morning has never put their faith and trust in Jesus, they have no idea what they're missing out. That scene in heaven will not be something they can celebrate unless they trust you. That scene in heaven, Lord, will be dreadful and awful as we get through the rest of this book. It will become a curse to them if they do not trust in Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray if anyone here has never put their faith and trust in Jesus, that he died on the cross for their sin. He was the Lamb who was slain for them. That, Lord, this morning they would do so. Lord, for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that we would just lay our troubles down at your feet. Lord, maybe there's some of us here right now that casting our crowns before you is a very foreign thought, because our power, our dominion, our authority, it's in our grasp. I pray this morning, Lord, we would surrender all of that, let go of it, because your love ran red on a cross for us. Oh, Lord, help us to submit to that this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand with me as we sing the song in closing, invitation is I'm going to be standing here at the front. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing up here. I invite you to come and to just tell me that you want to trust Christ as your Savior, and we'll have someone talk to you. And this morning, you can enjoy that scene in heaven, because you can be made a king and a priest unto your God this morning. And if you're here and you say, well, I am saved, but I'm overcome, I need the Lamb's help, then just come and bow before the Lord this morning. Use the front of this church as an altar and just let God have his way. Let him alter your life this morning. Let's sing it together.
Jesus, I surrender.
This morning, Tisha came forward to, she wanted to be accepted in Jesus Christ and to give her life to Jesus. And so Laura prayed with her. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is just the beginning of the book of Revelation. Pretty awesome. Next week, he begins to open the scroll, all right? Bring somebody with you, because this is awesome. And what the Lamb will do in heaven has great effect on earth. And you know what? All of this has transforming power right here, right now. And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to pray for the food, so those who are staying for the meal can just go right back to grab the food. And men and ladies who would like to play softball, don't forget the softball meeting right here at the front after I say amen. Let's pray. Lord God, my words are pale in comparison to how heaven sings. Lord, I want to echo those words because I know those words please you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for being my lamb. Thank you for being my lion. Thank you for prevailing. Thank you, Lord, that you have overcome. I pray that as we live out the rest of this day, that you would find ways to smile upon us. And I pray, Lord, we would find ways to bring glory right back to you. I pray that you'll bless the food to follow and the fellowship. We love you, Lord Jesus. Now to him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you.